Today we'll look at four things which bring great peace, plus we'll focus on some incredible daily mass readings. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Thanks for stopping by. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to look at the mass readings for Tuesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. The Lord has a very strong message in the gospel, one that we really should pay attention to. And in the second part of the program, since it's Tuesday, we're going to open up The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis and look at four things which bring great peace. Doesn't that sound appealing? Four things which bring great peace. You know, it's funny. In life, we're always looking for peace. We're looking for peace. We're looking for happiness. And we often have our own idea of the things that will bring peace, don't we? And we pursue these things because obviously, if something's not going to bring us peace, then chances are we're not going to be seeking it out. We'll probably be running away from it. But as it turns out, the things that bring us the greatest peace in life are not the things we'd ordinarily expect. And as we look at this list from The Imitation of Christ, I think some of these things might surprise you. But trust me, Thomas A. Kempis knows what he's talking about. These four things really do bring great peace. It's great to be here on the show with you today. I want to remind you that tomorrow at 6:35 a.m. I'll be kicking off a new series on the Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell. The name of the series will be Walking with the Lord. We'll be doing that every Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Still going to talk about overcoming anxiety a little bit, but in addition, we're going to have so many more things to focus on. We're going to really talk about walking with Jesus each day of our lives, which I think is a very practical thing to do. A lot of times we think it's not possible, but it's very possible, and it indeed is something that we can all do if we just put our minds to it. So that's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, 6:35 a.m., and that will be weekly on the Sunrise Morning Show, and that is Eastern Time, incidentally. And then on, let me get my calendar out so I can tell you this for sure. On Thursday, which is July the 14th at 12 noon Eastern Time, I will be on the air once again on EWTN Radio with Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani on the Jerry and Debbie Show. So I hope you'll be able to tune into that. We're going to be talking about my work with helping individuals to overcome anxiety. So that's going to be exciting. Next week, the 18th, Relevant Radio at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Then let's see what else we... Then that's about it. And then the following week, and this is all on my calendar, on my schedule at followingthetruth.com, I'll be heading to the Catholic Marketing Network for 2 days on the 27th and 28th. 29th, I'll be speaking at a conference at Holy Family University in Philadelphia. And the following week, I'll be leading the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry retreat from the 5th to the 7th of August at Malvern Retreat House. On the 8th of August, I'll be speaking at St. Stephen Parish in Framingham, Massachusetts. So it's going to be an exciting few weeks. And then let's see what happens after that. After that, I'm headed out to California, to the Fresno area. And then the following month, I will be in Denver, Steubenville, and Northern Michigan. So, got lots of good things going on. Please check followingthetruth.com for more information. And listen, I would like to come to your parish, too. I am working on booking Lenten Parish Missions. I've got two of them booked already. So I have a few weeks left. If you would like to bring me into your parish for a Lenten mission in 2017, please let me know as soon as you can. I've been getting a lot of inquiries, so the dates are going quickly. So if you'd like to do that, please contact me as soon as you can. I would love to speak at your parish. And the same goes for Advent missions. I think I only have about 1 week left for Advent missions. If you'd like to bring me in as a speaker, followingthetruth.com. Just go to the website, contact me through the contact page, or just email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. And a couple other pieces of news. My latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, that is scheduled to be released on October the 15th of this year. So stay tuned for that. And the final piece of news that I have for you today is that our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, the best of the best, will be beginning in early September. I don't know the exact date. I have to check my schedule. I think it's like September the 4th, if I'm not mistaken. But we are going to do it for the sixth consecutive year. This year will be unlike any of the other years I've done it before. I'll be using several different preparation methods. We'll combine them all. We'll compare them with St. Louis de Montfort's instructions. And we're going to come up with the best of the best. I really think this is going to be a fantastic preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. If you already made your total consecration, this would be a great way to renew it. Stay tuned for more information. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's going to be here before we know it. This always rolls around so quickly, and it always catches me by surprise. Now, this year, even though I've been talking about it, somehow I think it'll still catch me by surprise. All right, let's see what else we have. The beverage du jour today. You know what? It's funny. You remember me talking about lemon water, water with a slice of lemon in it. That was my beverage for a long time on this program. Well, I've got some lemons. I've got them sliced up. But for some reason, I keep going to a different beverage. I'm going to bring back water with a slice of lemon this week sometime. But that's not the beverage du jour today. Here we go. If you guessed Mystic Monk Coffee, you are correct. Tanzanian Peaberry is my flavor. That's a special Mystic Monk flavor of the month. If you want to find out more about the great coffee brewed by the Carmelite monks from Cody, Wyoming, check out Mystic Monk Coffee at followingthetruth.com. Also, I wanted to remind you that it's really important, if you shop from Amazon.com, if you would please use the link at my website, followingthetruth.com. Just click on the Amazon image, and instead of just going into Amazon.com, use that link to go into Amazon. And when you do that, anything you purchase will result in a little bit of a profit for me. So I thank you for that. That's one of the ways I keep this program free of charge, and I keep my full-time ministry operational. And of course, you could make a donation if you would like as well. That can be done at followingthetruth.com. Click on donate, and you will be all set. All right, let's get on with the show. This is a very important part of the program, when we turn to our Heavenly Father and we recognize that we're in His presence and that we ask for our needs, we praise Him, we glorify Him, and we just are in a conversation with Him. Let me tell you, this is big. So many times we forget how important prayer really is, but we need this. We really do. So I don't know what's going on in your life today. Chances are there could be some really rough things going on. This is a moment that is really important. We're going to turn and be focused on our Heavenly Father who really cares. Right now, He has got your undivided, or you have His undivided attention. Let's try to give Him our undivided attention as well as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us another day. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for, no matter how many times we stray from you, Father, thank you for always forgiving us. Every time we repent, every time we turn back to you, you always forgive us. That's just a wonderful offer. Father, we know that you love us, and we know that anything that you allow to happen in our life can somehow be used for our benefit, even though we might not understand it. Help us to trust you more, and help us to be willing to do what it is that you would like us to do. Instead of always wanting to do our own will, help us desire to do what you would like us to do. Father, we ask that you help all those who are sick, all those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those struggling with doubt or despair, those dealing with addiction, those who are struggling financially, those who are dealing with religious persecution or extreme weather situations. Father, we present to you our own personal needs. I give you this program, Heavenly Father, and I ask you to take over for me. Stir up your Holy Spirit and let Him speak through me this day. And please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. Father, we pray for peace in the world. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for all of the police officers who recently lost their lives due to violence in Dallas, Texas. We pray for anyone who loses their life due to violence. We ask that you have mercy on their souls and you comfort all those who are affected. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary and we ask for her prayers as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, here we go. Getting ready to get started. You know what? It's so awesome that you join me each night, Monday through Friday, on Blog Talk Radio and also on TuneIn Radio and iTunes, and hang out with me for 30 minutes as we talk about Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church. This is all about walking with the Lord. That's what we're trying to do every day. We're trying to walk with Him each day on the road, which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven, provided we keep walking with Him. That's what we're trying to do. And it's really awesome to have you with me. We read the daily Mass readings every day on the program, in case you're new to the show. That's a big part of the program. And we also have special themes each night. Now, this is all going to change beginning in September when we do our 33-day preparation for total consecration. We're going to do 33 days in a row, including weekends. I'll do 15-minute shows on Saturday and Sunday as well. And we're going to prepare ourselves to make our total consecration or to renew our total consecration. And then after that's done, we'll go back to the regular format. This is the way I've been doing it for over 5 years now. Believe it or not, we are in our sixth year on Blog Talk Radio. It's just an amazing, amazing testimony to what God can do in the life of a knucklehead like me. And I'm not kidding about that. I am so grateful that He can use me to somehow advance His kingdom. See, there, if He can use me, there's hope for you. That's what you need to remember. He's got a plan for you. He wants you to do something for Him too. Just be open and tell Him you're willing. Okay, let's get to these readings now. The first reading from Tuesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time is a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 1 through 9. In the days of Ahaz, king of Judah, son of Uzziah, Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, king of Israel, son of Remaliah, went up to attack Jerusalem, but they were not able to conquer it. When word came to the house of David that Aram was encamped in Ephraim, the heart of the king and the heart of the people trembled, as the trees of the forest tremble in the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and your son Shear-Jashub, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, on the highway of the fuller's field, and say to him, 'Take care you remain tranquil, and do not fear. Let not your courage fail before the two stumps of smoldering brands, the blazing anger of Rezin and the Arameans, and the son of Remaliah, because of the mischief that Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah plot against you, saying, "Let us go up and tear Judah asunder, make it our own by force, and appoint the son of Tabeel king there." Thus says the Lord, "This shall not stand, it shall not be. Damascus is the capital of Aram, and Rezin is the head of Damascus. Samaria is the capital of Ephraim, and Remaliah's son the head of Samaria. But within 60 years and five, Ephraim shall be crushed, no longer a nation. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm." Now, this is, I want to concentrate on one message out of this first reading. It's very easy for us to become overwhelmed. We've all got our own problems. I was thinking of some things today that can be, can easily become a source of stress for me. And generally, even though we have our own anxieties, what it comes down to is if I'm fearful of an outcome of something in my life, or if there is a situation that I can't control, there's a good chance that I can become anxious if I don't turn it all over to the Lord and say, "Lord, this is beyond my control. I trust you with this problem. I trust you with my future. You know, if I do that, I'm going to be okay. But if I can't do that, or if I refuse to do that, there is a very good chance that I'm going to become anxious. We want to try to avoid that. What's happening here is we have the Ahaz, king of Judah. He was fearful because he was in a pretty big fight. And it could have easily taken over him and he could have become anxious. But Isaiah was sent by the Lord to go out and meet him and say, "Take care, you remain tranquil and do not fear. And don't let your courage fail before these two stumps of smoldering brands," etc., etc. Because if the Lord is on our side, there really is nothing to fear. Ultimately, you and I have been destined to live forever in heaven. That's our destiny. That's why we were created. We were created to eventually live with the Lord forever in heaven. And nothing could take that away from us. Now, certainly we can mess it up by the way we behave, but nobody can do something to take that away from us. Okay? It's ultimately mine to lose. If I don't make it to heaven, if I don't make it to heaven, right? It's not God's fault. It's not my enemy's fault. It's my fault. So there's a certain sense of comfort there. The other thing that should console us is the fact that as we face problems, we know that the Lord is right in there with us. He's right with us. We don't have to go seek him out. We don't have to call him up on the phone. He's with us. He's going through these problems with us. And remember, if you've been baptized and confirmed, you have the Holy Spirit within you. So you've got the Holy Spirit, the Spirit which moved Jesus to do what he did. The Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son. A little hard to understand sometimes, but the Holy Spirit isn't a phone call away. He's not an email away. He is right inside of you. And see, that's an amazing fact that should make you very comfortable. So whatever you face, and I don't promise, neither did the Lord, that you'll never face problems, but you're never facing them alone. You've got the Holy Spirit, your friend. He's a real person. He's a member of the Trinity inside of you. The Holy Spirit leads you closer to Jesus and helps you act as Jesus acts. You know, so you're in good shape, and that's the message I want you to get out of this first reading. You're not facing your problems alone, no matter what they are. And as bad as they may seem, they're temporary. Any problem you face in this life, it's not going to go with you to the next life. So please keep that in mind. I'm not trying to downplay your problems. What I'm trying to do is help you to feel confident. Psalm 48, God upholds his city forever. Great is the Lord and holy to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, fairest of heights, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, the recesses of the north, is the city of the great king. God is with her castles. Renowned is he as a stronghold. For lo, the kings assemble, they come on together, they also see, and at once are stunned, terrified, routed, quaking seizes them there, anguish, like a woman in labor, as though a wind from the east were shattering ships of Tarshish. The reminder is that, again, the Lord is with us. He strengthens us. He gives us the grace that we need to face any problem. This is nothing new. You've heard me say this before. But this is a message that we need to really hear every day. Think of that message when you think of the problems in your life, whatever they are right now, the concerns, the questions, the uncertainty, whatever you're facing. Know that the Lord upholds you. The Lord is with you. And the Lord will help you. Let's look at the gospel, Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. There's a bit of a powerful message from the Lord here, something that we need to recognize. It's going to be a little painful. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us really understand this. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. Now, here's why this is a tough message. Certainly, the message is for us to repent. If we are not living a life that would please our Lord Jesus, then we're called to repent. We're called to change things. We're called to turn things around with his help. But we're called to take that first step and not put it off till tomorrow, right? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And that's why we want to do that. But I'm gonna give you a slightly different twist to this. This is what the Holy Spirit laid on me with this reading when I was hearing it at Mass today. As someone who tends to not have as much faith as he should, my faith isn't as strong as it should be at times. I doubt. I begin to panic when I don't have these guarantees. I like to have certain things guaranteed in my life. And when the Lord's not coming through as fast as I'd like him to, especially when it comes to financial matters, I start to panic a little bit, and that's my nature. But when I heard this reading today, this gospel, what came to mind was the Lord saying to me, look at all that I have done for you, look at all that I have done for my people, look at the miracles I performed, but even just in my life, look, Gary, at what I've done for you. Why is it that you don't trust me? What more can I do to show you that I love you and that I'm going to take care of you? And when I hear that, I realize that I need to repent of my doubt. I need to start giving the Lord the benefit of the doubt, right? Which, instead of questioning him all the time, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to come through. But yet, am I not seeing what he's done, what he can do? What really is the problem? Why exactly do I not trust? And I think that's the message we can all take from this gospel today. If we're not trusting, if we're worrying, if we're afraid of the future, why? Is it that the Lord hasn't shown us? I mean, let's face it, none of our problems have killed us yet. And if we look throughout salvation history, we see that he was always there for his people. His people would desert him. But on the other hand, he was always there for his people. So let's pray for the grace to be able to trust him more today. I think that's really important for us to do. Because otherwise, we're not putting as much faith in him as we should. We want to give him a chance, especially after all the great things that we have seen him do in our lives. So let's pray for that grace to be able to trust him more. Amen. All right. Now that we talked about that, let's look at these four things that will bring us great peace. As you know, on Tuesday, I like to open up the book, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. And if you're a new listener to the program, I've been doing this for a number of years on the show. And I love the book. It's a fantastic book. It is a favorite book of many of the saints. It's a book you should have in your possession. You should have your Bible, you should have your catechism, and you should have The Imitation of Christ. There's a couple other books I would recommend as well, but this is an incredibly important one. And the way this works is there are a series of short chapters, and what I'll do is I'll read one chapter each week. And the book, the version that I have, is published by the Catholic Book Publishing Company. This is my favorite translation. It's very easy to understand, and it's got a powerful, powerful message. Not diluted, you know. There are some books that they're easy to understand, but they're also a bunch of fluff. This book is not. on four things which bring great peace. And what happens, this is written as a dialogue between Christ and a disciple. So you and I were the disciple. Christ is Christ. Here it is. Four things which bring great peace. Christ. My child, now I shall teach you the way of true peace and perfect liberty. Disciple. Dear Lord, do as you say, for it will be a joy for me to hear this. And you would say that, wouldn't you? If the Lord came to you and said, I have four things that bring you great peace. Do you want to know what they are? You're going to say, you bet, Lord. Who don't want that, right? I want some of that peace. Christ, try my child to do the will of another rather than your own. Number one. Number two, always choose to have fewer riches rather than more. Number three, always seek the lowest place and desire to be subject to all. And number four, always wish for and pray that the will of God be accomplished in you. Such a person enters into the abode of true peace and inward rest. I'm going to give you those again. They're really simple, but here they are. Number one, try to do the will of another rather than your own. Try to do the will of another rather than your own. And remember, this is, we've got to keep this in perspective here. A lot of the readers of this book would be people in religious order. So you're not just going to try to do, and if you, so a lot of them will have superiors. You may not be in that position, but you want to do the will of somebody, do the will of the Lord. There you go. Try to do his will for your life. Number two, always choose to have fewer riches rather than more. We can all stand to declutter a little bit, to simplify our lives. That's a very good rule of thumb. Always seek the lowest place and desire to be subject to all. See, and the reason these things are important is because many of these things that we're hearing, these four things, these are, when we don't do these things, it opens us up to a lot of misery. But if I'm trying to have fewer riches rather than more, and I don't make a lot of money, then I'm not going to be miserable. Always seek the lowest place. Well, then when somebody doesn't recognize me or give me the acclaim that I think I deserve, well, it's not going to upset me. And finally, always wish for and pray that the will of God be accomplished in you. That is huge. You might not always want to do God's will, but pray that you can have that desire to always do God's will. Now, the disciple responds, Lord, these four points which you have taught me contain great perfection. They are few in words, but full of meaning and abounding in virtue. If I could keep them faithfully, I would not be so easily upset. For as often as I feel restless and discontented, I find that I have departed from this sound doctrine. But do you, Lord Jesus, who can do all things and love to see the progress of the soul, increase your grace in me to enable me to fulfill these words and to accomplish my salvation. He goes on to say a prayer against evil thoughts. Disciple, my Lord Jesus, I beseech you not to go far from me, but come quickly and help me. Christ, I will go before you and humble the great ones of the earth. I will open the gates of the prison and reveal my hidden secrets to you. A prayer for enlightening our minds. Disciple, enlighten me, Lord Jesus, with the brightness of eternal light and dispel all the darkness from my heart. Restrain my wayward thoughts and destroy all violent temptations which attack me. Fight strongly for me and drive away the evil beasts, those enticing desires of the flesh, so that peace may rule by your power and your name be praised abundantly in the temple of my soul, which is a clean and pure conscience. Command the winds and storms of pride to cease. Say to the sea of worldly desires, be still. And to the north wind, the devil's temptation, do not blow. Then there will be peace and tranquility. Finally, snatch me and deliver me from the passing comfort of creatures, for nothing created can fully satisfy me. Unite me to yourself with an inseparable bond of love that you alone can, for you alone can satisfy the soul that loves you, and without you, all else is worthless. There you go. Really, detachment is the secret to having great peace in life. It's amazing what can happen if you detach yourself from the things of the world. I'm completely out of time. I've got to go. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.